Indigenous people of North America with flowery fables, wampum, and feathers. It was Ben's inside joke, but it always shut his students up. Dan never knew quite when to take his mentor seriously, but when it came to climbing or the complex ways of the world, Ben knew his stuff.
"Don't worry, old man," Dan shouted back. "We've got plenty of time to finish our climb."
He clipped his rope into three carabiners anchored to the rock.
"Ready to belay," he shouted,
and snugged the rope's tension a bit more than usual as a courtesy to Ben.
"Climbing," Ben shouted back.
With Dan's aid, Ben slithered up the cliff with a confidence that would humble men half his age. Ben Proudfoot had been climbing the Georgia Mountains for over 30 years. Within minutes, he reached the belay point, flopped down on the ledge, and cast an expectant glance Dan's way.
"Impatient already? Geez, you just got here."
"And if the storm comes sooner?"
Dan shot Ben an incredulous look.
"It won't."
Ben grinned.
"I watch the weather reports, too. They're never right."
Dan ignored the faint insult and stood up to study the cliff ahead. Climbers loved to christen their favorite routes with colorful names like Punk Wave, Flying Frog, Primitive Paradox, Cracker State, Mescaline Daydream. His current climb was no different, a particularly gnarly pitch of twisted rock, aptly named Creatures Void of Form. It was a zigzag route, 30 feet up to an arête, then a horizontal traverse leftward for another 50 feet, that ended at two slabs of rock angled like the pages of an open book. From there, the route went vertical again, dead-ending at an overhang. It was a route he'd never climbed, even in his heyday, an advanced level climb. Now, rusty and out of shape. Ben must have sensed his mood.
"Not as tough as it looks," he said reassuringly. "I climbed it in my sleep once, on a full moon, guided by the Nunehi."
Yeah, the Nunehi," Dan said. "The little people who live in caves and guide widows and orphans to the happy hunting ground. I don't fit that profile. Let's dispense with the old legends for once, shall we?"
Ben cackled like a crow.
"Be the mouse. Keep your nose down. Focus on the next hold. Do not think, just climb. You were once my best student."
"Once is the key word." Ben laughed again.
"I'm still here, aren't I? You never lose the skills."
"Give me a minute."
Dan warily traced the rock with his eyes, imagining every foot and handhold, every opportunity to place protection in the cracks. He did have an instinct for stone with its fractal patterns and randomness, but he never climbed unprepared. Anticipation and meticulous planning was his style. Calculated risks. Comfortable with his projected path, Dan took a deep breath and started up. The muscles in his forearms burned, and he felt clumsy at first, but Ben was right. Within minutes, he relaxed and let the old climbing engrams kick in. He rallied and started humming the old Bob Dylan tune to himself. "'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue and the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in," she said, "I'll give you shelter from the storm." Dan reached the shallow arête and stopped long enough to place two cams in a crack. Then he worked his way left, crabbing along a series of technical backsteps, drop knees, and laybacks. The route grew more difficult. Despite his planning, the traverse ended poorly at the open book corner, with his stance off balance and stretched, shoes barely finding grip. He needed to place another cam immediately or risk a pendulum swing back to the belay ledge. But the crack was just out of reach and his strained legs and arms were starting a death wobble. He hugged the wall for relief and closed his eyes. The image of a young boy appeared, scrambling up clay hills near home, laughing, grabbing at roots, slipping back, father shouting encouragement from below, there to claim him if he fell. Dan had a naive confidence back then. He felt blindly for a better hold and edged closer to the crack. But then, a dark shadow swallowed the memory. The young boy disappeared, overtaken by adulthood.
"'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood."
A sudden ringing jolted him from the wall. Dan's heart